weeks from this last Friday, last week of the month, in San Antonio. It is a group. Well, the guy our company buys our coolers from is he's a retired Navy SEAL. And they're putting on this gala where they're raising money to help military families out who have their husbands or wives this gala. So I had to buy a whole new outfit. But I'm not wearing the jacket because it's just too hot to wear the jacket. I had the hat on earlier, but they got hot and my bald head starts sweating. So when I get out of here today, before I go eat dinner or eat lunch, I'm going to change clothes because this is hot. It's hot. And just for Kevin, though, this is just for you, Kevin. You'll understand when you see. My tags are still there. The rest of the tags are off. And before I go to the gala, I'll take the tags off. I don't want to go back down. There we go. I'm going to be speaking on the law versus grace. Right here. The law versus grace. And you hath he quickened. In chapter 2, verse 1, we're going to read down to verse number 10. You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God gave his word to his people. I'll go further and you'll understand. He did not give his written word to the world. He did give his living word to the world, Jesus. He gave his written word to his people for two reasons: so that we could know more about him and his character and how we should live for him. Number two, so that we, his people, would take his written word to the world and tell them about his living word. That's why we're involved in missions. We're involved in doing that. We're taking the living word by way of the written word around the world. In his word, we find the law, and we find the grace. And ever since the law was given to man, there has been a great controversy about that law and about grace. And a lot of people miss the boat because they get caught up in the law. There are different kinds of laws out there. There's the laws of nature out there. There's the laws of gravity. What goes up must come down.
I'm coming down. If I throw a bowling ball down the aisle, it's going to go down the aisle. If I throw it out there in the air, it's going to come down and hit the floor. That's a law that's in place. It's nothing you can do about it. It's there. What goes up must come. There are written laws. There's laws out in the books about speeding. You go down the highway and you go by a police officer. He's got his radar gun on and you're going over the speed limit. He's probably going to stop you and give you a ticket. That's a law. There's laws about stealing. You go breaking somebody's house, you get caught, you're going to go to jail. Well, it depends on where you live. If you live in Harris County, you're going to get cut loose.
Don't do that again now. You have a court date. You be in court. We're going to let you go now, and you be a good boy, and don't do that again. That's what they're doing in Harris County. Now, that's Harris County. You go right across the county line into Montgomery County, just not far from where you live. There's a sign on the highway that says, in Montgomery County, we prosecute. You break the laws in Montgomery County, you're going to go to jail. There's the law of sin and death. Look at Romans chapter 8. These are laws that God put in place, the law of sin and death. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. The law of sin and death in verse 2. What is the law of sin and death? It's this, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. That's the law. You sin, something's going to die. For the Christian, Brother Gary, I'm saved. I'm not dying. That's right. You are spiritually are not dying as a Christian. As someone that knows Jesus, you're not going to die spiritually. But listen very carefully. Every time we do something wrong, because we still live in the flesh, we're still going to do things wrong because we still have that fleshly nature on us. We're still going to mess up. Just remember this, that says, for the wages of sin is death. Every time you and I do something wrong, even as a Christian, something dies. A blessing that God would wanted to give us or had intended, that may die because we do things wrong. Every time we sin, something dies. So, but the law of sin and death is for the wages of sin. I'm referring to somebody that's lost. There's those laws. There's other written laws. God, in God's word, we have what's called the Ten Commandments, found in Exodus chapter 20, right? There's, thou shalt not have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Ten commandments. The first four commandments have to do with man's relationship to God. The last six commandments have to do with man's relationship to man. These Ten Commandments that were written on stone by the finger of God are just a summary of all the commandments that were given in the law. You mean there's more? Oh, yeah. I believe it's 613 different laws in God's word, in that law, in that first four books are, well, for, the Exodus, I mean, there's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Genesis is all about creation. When things first got started, the first laws that God gave to Moses were in Exodus. He gave laws in Leviticus and gave laws in Numbers. Deuteronomy is a summary of all those laws, just a repeat. But in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, he gave 613 different commandments. 365 of those are things that are forbidden. Wow. Wow. We got that. We have that, all that to obey. There are different laws that were given. There are ceremonial laws. There are sacrificial laws. There are governmental laws that they gave. There were dietary laws that they gave. How many of you eat catfish? Come on, raise your hand. Just be honest. I got my hand up. I ate catfish. Guess what? You're not supposed to eat catfish. How many of you eat pork? I like pork butt on the pit. Yes, sir. Pull apart. Put it on a tortilla and eat it with a little barbecue sauce. That's how I like to eat them. Not supposed to eat pork. How many of you like shrimp? Bingo. Yes, sir. I like that shrimp. How many of you like chicken? You're not supposed to eat those things. Oh, what? How many of you ever ate a grasshopper? Anybody? You ate a grasshopper? Guess what? You can eat grasshoppers. You can eat locusts. Did you know that? How about, what, a chocolate-dipped locust? I bet that ought to be a real tasty. Crunchy, tasty. Are you hungry yet? Or did I ruin the appetite? Listen, there's all these laws that were given that you can do and can't do. And yet there's folks that believe, I got to keep all the law to go to heaven. The Jews, they believed they had to keep the law to go to heaven. But listen, that's not why the law was given. To whom and when were the laws given? They were given to the Jews when they came out of the nation of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, here's why they were given. Now, listen very carefully. I believe God's word. He gave us all we need to know. He gave us everything we need to know right there. But he also gave us a brain to think with. And there are some things we need to understand and we can learn by extracurricular reading. You can find out some things. Now, we know from God's word when Joseph had been a captive, a slave, he'd been carried down to Egypt and was down in Egypt. His father and brethren eventually came to where he was so that he could take care of him because God had set it up to spare the children of Israel from the famine that was taking place. They ended up in Egypt. They as long as the people knew who Joseph was, everything was fine. But it says that a king, another Pharaoh raised up who knew not Joseph. That's when the trouble began. The children of Israel became so many of them, became more in population than the nation of Egypt itself, than the Egyptians. They were worried that Egypt was going to take over. So they put him under hard bondage. But listen, Israel spent 430 years down in Egypt. During that 430 years, the Israelites began to live just like the Egyptians. They worshiped the same gods. They did the same things. They did the same sacrificial offerings to the gods, just like the Egyptians. And when God brought them out, by the way, all the plagues that took place in Egypt was against the gods that the Egyptians had. And God was trying to show Israel, this is what I can do to any of these gods. I can destroy them. So when God brought them out, he had to change them. So he had to show them how to change. So that's when he gave Moses those Ten Commandments, which are a summary of all 613 commandments. And all these commandments that God gave them were also an attack on the Egyptian gods. So what God was doing, he was telling them by giving them all these commandments and laws, you got to change. We got to get Egypt out of you. So you don't live like Egypt when you get to the new land where I'm taking you, because I want you to live the way I want you to live. So we're going to have to clean you up and get it out of you. By the way, this is a picture of some verses in Corinthians. Turn over 2 Corinthians. Look at verse number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is something, there's a picture of what needs to take place in our lives. Remember, we weren't always saved. We lived like the world, right? When we're lost. We did the things of the world. So there's something's got to take place. Look at Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, here it is, come out from among them and be ye separate. That's what he was trying to do with the nation of Israel and bringing them out of Egypt and trying to get them to clean up and get Egypt out of them. Thus saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's what was taking place with the law. That's why it was given to clean Egypt up. I mean, it was given to clean Israel up. Now, what is the law? Look back at Galatians chapter 3. We're going to see what it is. Galatians chapter 3, look at verse 24 and 25. Galatians 3, 24 and 25. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. The law was given to teach us how wrong we are. Brother Gary, that's a lot of laws to obey. It showed us where we're wrong, but it's also showing us that there's no way that we as an individual can keep those laws. See, in order to go to heaven, if you're going to live by the law, that means you could never commit any of those laws and break them. Not one of them. It also showed us the impossibility of that to ever happen. It's impossible to keep all those laws to go to heaven. Why? Because we still have a sin nature. Number two, the law was our schoolmaster. Number two, the law demands obedience. Look back at verse number 10, same chapter. It demands obedience. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. It demands obedience to obey the law. Number three, there is no justification in keeping the law. It condemns. Look back at chapter 2, verse 16. The law condemns. knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. If you're not justified, you're condemned. But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even when we believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Even if you could keep all 613 of those different laws, you'd still be condemned. Then, that's the law. Then there's this thing called grace. What's grace? Simply put, unmerited favor. There's an acrostic of the letters in grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. God's grace means this. It means God giving to me that which I don't deserve. That's grace. There's another word that goes, when you find grace, there's another word that you're going to have to put there with it, that goes right with it. It's a word called mercy, Brother Robert. Mercy. You know what mercy is? Mercy is God keeping from me that which I deserve. There's another word you have to put there with those that it ties it all together. It's called love. God's love. It's because of God's love that He has mercy on us and grace gives to us. You can't find, if you got those three words have to stay together. Without one of them, you can't have the other two. It takes all three of them. And it's because of God's love for us that gives us grace and mercy through His Son, Jesus. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 6:23, we quoted the first part of it a while ago. There's another part to it. For the wages of sin is death, but... thank God for the but. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. What's a wage? I get a paycheck working for my son. I get that once, I get paid once a month. That I get paid that for working for him, doing a job for him. That's called a wage. If you look on your W-2, it'll say on there wages, tips, and salaries. That right there, that's what that is. That's how much money you made all year long at the job where you work at. They paid you for the work you did. There's a payment for sin, and it's called death. You earned that. I earned that. We earned that. But God's got a gift called eternal life that he'll give to us when we trust Jesus. And a gift is something you don't have to work for. You don't have to pay it. Somebody else paid the price for it. Jesus paid the price. All you have to do is receive it by faith. I got saved in August of 1974. 48 years ago, this past August. And when I think about 48 years, man, that's been a long time. And you know what? In 48 years, I've made a lot of mistakes. But you know what? He never has made a mistake. He's never disappointed me. A lot of things I don't understand, but he's never done me wrong in 48 years. I spent a lot of time a while ago talking about the law, and there's the law. I spent more time talking about the law than I did grace. Grace is very simple and to the point. The law, man, it's a mess. Ephesians 2:8 says this, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." A gift is something you give to someone for no charge. And that's what Jesus did. I and you owe a debt. We cannot pay. Jesus paid a debt he didn't owe. Paid it for us. The law can't do it for you. The law won't do it for you. And that's why Jesus came, to take our place so that we wouldn't have to pay for our own sins. He paid the price. He did what the law could not do, and give us eternal life. Dear Heavenly Father, I prayed a lot this week that there would be people here that I had on my mind that I thought this message would be for. They're not here. And I don't know the hearts of everyone here, but you do. Perhaps there's someone here today that needed that. Know about your grace, your mercy, your love. Would you speak to those hearts that need you? And we, dear God, that are your people, may we appreciate more what you did for us. May it mean more to us than it ever has before. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Mary Jane's going to play a song.